Hello and welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychology's magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy. I'm Susie Walker and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychology's. And I know this episode might make you a bit emotional, possibly make you want to shout at the radio and maybe question some of the things about your own lives and relationships. If you want to heal after betrayal, whether you've had an affair or multiple affairs, or it was your partner who hurt you, this podcast is definitely for you.
I think the primary impact on any relationship that's rocked by infidelity or betrayal is that sense of mistrust, broken trust, and the big question mark about whether you can ever get that trust back.
That was the amazing Lucy Beresford. Lucy's a renowned psychotherapist, the author of four books, including the bestseller Happy Relationships, and she hosts a weekly sex and relationships show on the national radio station LBC. In a minute, you will hear her talking to Sarah Niblock, our new CEO of the UKCP. Here are some comments about cheating from real people we interviewed on the street.
I think I'd say that the most important thing for a functional relationship is trust. So I think infidelity alongside dishonesty can be really damaging.
It's not right, but it does get done, either physically or emotionally.
I mean, depending on the individual and the situation, it can have, you know, adverse impact on the relationship between two people.
So let's hear how we can deal with these things and what we can realistically expect of ourselves in this situation.
Lucy, you obviously deal with a lot of infidelity in your consulting room. Who tends to come to you first? Is it the person who's cheating or thinking of cheating, or is it the person who's been cheated on?
I think it'd be fair to say that the majority of people, if they come to see me about infidelity issues, are compelled to come because they have been cheated on. They're in that crisis, they've just discovered it, or they've just been told about it, and they are now furious. They have a whole maelstrom of emotions, and they just don't know how to get through that. But I think it's also fair to say that I have also worked with people who are serial cheaters and have begun to wake up to the fact that that is them, because I think, you know, there's a lot of denial that goes on, there's a lot of blame of the other person, and then eventually a serial cheater will work out there, actually it's me, you know, I'm the one that's doing all the cheating here. I can no longer blame, you know, the 12 other partners that I had. But I think the amazing thing about psychotherapy is it provides you with this forum in which you can explore this wild range of emotions from, you know, you are on a daily basis pissed off with the person who has broken your heart, perhaps ruptured your family, perhaps destroyed the finances. You know, there are so many things that can happen in betrayal. But I think it's also a really important thing to be able to offload that information somewhere, which is what people do in psychotherapy. I think sometimes there is still a bit of embarrassment about the fact that you have maybe been cheated on, you, or you have discovered infidelity and you don't want to tell people, you don't want to tell your friends because you think they might judge you, or you don't want to tell your parents because they might be cross, maybe they didn't like the person that you ended up with, and now, you know, you think your chickens are coming home to roost. But ultimately you've got to find somewhere where you can kind of really get in touch with all of that emotion, because the worst thing to do is to suppress it, pretend nothing has happened, stick your head in the sand. You've got to really look at infidelity as your opportunity, not just to work out what's happening in the relationship and whether it has a future, but also to learn something about yourself, your coping strategies, the things that really upset you, but also to develop a sense of awareness about how strong you are, of how you can start to cope.
You've touched on the impact that the realization that somebody's been betrayed can have on someone. It's really interesting because when you look out there, you know, celebrity magazines, couples who've in the public eye who may have experienced infidelity, and they just show absolutely no emotion. What is a normal reaction in a situation like this?
It was funny because I read somebody was talking about some celebrity was talking about their infidelity very recently, and they said that in fact, yes, they had had a really difficult time and that they had actually cried for a whole week. And I read that and I thought, a week? My God, I've known people who've cried for a year or more. Such is the pain. I think the danger is imagining that somehow you have to be buttoned up about it and you've got to be stoic and you've got to be brave. And sometimes if you've got kids, for example, or elderly parents that you don't want to hurt, you have to put on a brave face. Maybe you've got a really high profile job and you don't want anyone to know, or maybe you've got important clients. There are so many ways in which you do have to get out there and put the brave face on it, but you have to find that opportunity to really grieve. You have to find that opportunity to let those real emotions out, because there are going to come times when you actually just want to kill the person who has broken your heart or ruptured your relationship. Or if you are the person who has been the betrayer, you are going to want to deal with your shame, with your embarrassment, with your guilt. You've got to find somewhere to be able to go with that. And lots of us have friends, and that's great, but sometimes your friends can only take you so far. That's the beauty of psychotherapy. It provides you with that forum, that space, that 50 minutes a week, that safe container where you can dump all of those really shitty emotions and all of those really unattractive emotions about yourself. Bring them to the therapist, dump them there, and revisit them the following week. Mm.
And if you don't do that, I mean, if you do think, oh, I'll just deal with it, can time be a healer on its own, or is it better to find a space to think it through?
Everyone is different, and not everybody is cut out for psychotherapy, or it's not the right time. But I do always worry that if you don't process your emotion, you will suppress something and it will fester, and it will come out in another way. Now, for some people, that might actually end up in them cheating as well, a kind of revenge betrayal. That's no good for anybody. But it can also make you very unwell. It can make you, you know, it can make you depressed. It can make you physically unhappy. It can compromise your sleep. It can make you overeat or undereat. So sooner or later, this will catch up on you. The best thing to do is to face that pain and process it.
Thinking about people who are cheated on, I've got friends who find themselves relationship after relationship in the same position. And I just wondered if there's something that we can do to change the fact we're cheated on.
Well, I think you're raising a really interesting point, which is that if you do have a pattern in your life, and certainly as a psychotherapist, if I'm presented with someone who comes and says that this always happens, I'm always falling for bad boys, I'm always falling for women who abandon me, whatever it might be, eventually you do have to start looking at yourself. You have to look at those unconscious choices that you're making. And I think in terms of those patterns, what you're often looking at are the attachment styles that people have that are formed very early on in life. There are three attachment styles. We're talking avoidant attachment style, insecure attachment style, or let's say healthy attachment style. And those are very well documented in terms of how you related to your caregiver, let's say the mother, obviously it doesn't have to be, but how you related to that person and how they also related to you. Were they, did they abandon you emotionally? Were they very insecure themselves and therefore they kind of evolved that insecure attachment with you? Were they very ambivalent about their attachment style with you? Or were they very healthy? In a textbook, we would all love to have had healthily attached parenting styles. When you grow up and you go into your relationships, you're kind of unconsciously repeating that pattern. We often say it's almost as if you're trying to repair something, but of course the other person that you've got into a relationship with as a grown-up doesn't know that that's what you're trying to do. They too are bringing their own pattern, their own attachment styles. And one of the classic attachment dynamics that happens in relationships is the person who is the pursuer and the person who is the avoider. I'm using my hands as I'm talking to you. I've got these almost like a sort of rabbit and hare chasing each other around the room. And what you often find is that pursuers and avoiders, people who are desperate for intimacy and people who are terrified or feel very overwhelmed or trapped by it, often end up in relationships together. And they have to work exceptionally hard not to trigger each other's angst.
And can couples heal from this?
Yes. The key thing to remember is that all of this is healable once it's made conscious. The problem is when it's not conscious, when you're just acting it out or it's happening over and over again without you analysing what's going on. But as soon as you, and in particular, as soon as you and your partner are kind of aware that this is where the two of you are at, and these are the triggers for each of you, and these are the buttons that each of you keep pressing in each other, you are on your way to a much healthier relationship. And it's in that space that you'll be able to have other conversations about, you know, I'm not getting my needs met, I don't feel fulfilled. And if you don't have those conversations, that's where cheating, that's where infidelity is more likely to arise.
And so are you saying that psychotherapy can actually make troubled relationships much stronger?
I'm saying that psychotherapy makes you more aware of yourself as a person. This is why I'm such a big believer in as many people as possible having psychotherapy, whether they're single or in a relationship. But it can also help you heal, help you have not only healthier but more fulfilling relationships, because you're not pressing each other's buttons so regularly. You're able to move on and have a more enjoyable, more fulfilling relationship with the other person.
So perhaps it's a good idea for us to consider, maybe. I mean, it's probably not very romantic, is it, to say to your new boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, let's go and have some therapy on about date three, is it? But would that be a good idea? Would that be a good thing to do instead of the cinema?
I would love to get us away from this idea that you can only go into therapy when you're in a crisis, or that you can only go into therapy when there's a problem. That actually I have got quite a few people who've started to come to see me over the years who are there for slightly more existential questions about, you know, Is this it? What do I want from my life? Where am I going? And therefore, the idea that you could have a conscious enough relationship that you as a couple would start to have couples counselling or therapy in order to nourish and nurture a brilliant relationship from the very beginning, not when a crisis hits, would be absolutely amazing. And so I love that idea that, you know, you go out for dinner for your first date, you do an activity on your second date to get to know what the other person's like, then you have therapy on your third date. Perhaps that's our new campaign.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking anniversaries, maybe anniversary gifts from the family, you know, a couple of sessions.
Well, I know several couples who have started therapy after the engagement,
right,
which I think is, you know, I would love it to happen before the engagement, but at least they're doing it before the wedding, because at least you're recognising that in a way, after the wedding, that's when the hard work begins. After the civil partnership, that's where you have to put in, you know, just as much work as you would have done in the courtship or the wooing. But in terms of infidelity, let's get our baggage out there on the table before a crisis hits.
That was psychotherapist Lucy Beresford talking with Sarah Niblock, the CEO of the UK Council for Psychotherapy. If, after listening to that, you feel you could benefit from some talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to the Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website address is psychotherapy.org.uk, and look for the Find a Therapist tab. We're also featuring the subject of infidelity in the Psychologies magazine this month, or you can find us online at psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP's psychotherapists, so join us again next month. Till then, thank you so much for listening and take good care of yourselves.